is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This week, we conclude the series, Keep Your Eyes Fixed on Jesus. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is Cody Johnson with I Can't Even Walk Without You, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but now I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think I'll make Jesus my all in all, and if I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less of a man, 'cause Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I stand, 'cause Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my
The key is, don't get focused and get all excited about the miracles and forget the true blessing. The true blessing was that Jesus gave his life, his blood for us on the cross. And he was resurrected and lives forever. And he is in heaven. And he wants you to come. That's the real miracle. The miracle of the cross. Keep your eyes fixed on what Jesus did for you. Not this faith healer or whatever that says he's got the newest thing, holy laughter, or, you know, whatever new gadget they come up with, all right? There's all these new preachings and everything. You know, there's in John chapter 6 is an interesting passage in the Bible. All of these people saw the miracle of the loaves of bread and the fishes that God had amplified, Jesus had, and wow, they were able to feed an entire crowd. How is it that just such a small amount of food, and Jesus said, give these out, distribute this food, the loaves of bread and the fishes, to the people. And they had plenty for everybody, and there was food left over. That's sort of the way God works things. He gives you from his ample pantry, and let me tell you, there's food left over, and I'm talking about spiritual food, true treasures of heaven. But it's interesting to me that a lot of people believed in Jesus because of the miracles they had seen. And the Bible records in the book of John, or the Gospel of John, that Jesus himself said he saw the huge crowd that came to him. And he said, they've only come to me because of the miracles they've seen. Because Jesus, it says in the scriptures, knew what was in the hearts of every person. See, a lot of people are drawn to miracles, to power. They love magicians. David Copperfield and all these. They love to see the power being manifested. And they love to go and see, you know, Benny Hinn or whatever, you know, wave his hand and, oh, you know, people fall in the power, so to speak. But do they really? Did Oral Roberts really heal? No, he was a false prophet. Well, what were those healings? I don't know. They could have been fakes. It could be that a person was truly a Christian, was healed not by Oral Roberts or anything he did, but by Jesus Christ. But I don't really think so. I really don't believe that's true, that it happened at the Oral Roberts meeting. But that doesn't mean that Jesus cannot heal you. I know he healed my wife. My wife, Wanda, has had cancer, and I know Jesus healed her. Oh, the doctors did all they could do. But after all, her cancer came back, and they said, well, you know, it's bad news now when it comes back. That's been many, many years ago. She's cancer-free. She had it cut out. We prayed to Jesus. We begged Jesus, in fact. I don't mind saying that. We begged Jesus, please, please, Lord, help us. And we had faith. Thank God for the doctors. I think God gave us the doctors. But I believe it was faith in Jesus that saved my wife's life. Now, do keep your eyes on Jesus and what he can do in terms of converting people to his kingdom. I think that's the greatest miracle of all. A converted life, a life, a man or a woman, a youth, that has great sin in their life and is forgiven by God. And then this person is joyous and so happy. The sin, the burden has been lifted from them. And the yoke of Jesus, he said, it's an easy one. It's light. Friends, that feeling you get, that being lifted in Jesus through the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. You can't get that anywhere else. Let me give you some examples of two people who had their eyes fixed on Jesus from the scriptures. One was Zacharias. He was a tax collector. He'd been cheating a lot of people. It was sort of what tax collectors did back then. Well, actually, I think they still do that today. But anyway, he heard about Jesus and the miracles. And you know what? The Holy Spirit must have been drawing Zacharias. And Jesus was coming by his way, and all the people were crowding. Remember, the crowds all had heard about Jesus, and they crowded the streets. And this tax collector fellow was, well, he had a problem. He was too short. He couldn't work his way through the crowd, and he was afraid he wasn't going to get a sight of Jesus. He wanted to have his eyes. He just wanted to see, is this really the Messiah? And he was drawn to Jesus, but he was a short guy. You know, And how was he able, amongst all the throng of people, how was he going to be able to see Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He climbed into a tree. It may not have been the most dignified thing to do. Can you imagine? But he climbed into a tree. Maybe he was too short, but in physical stature, but evidently he believed. And you know what? Of all the people there, Jesus looked into that tree and saw him. Think about that. I told you Jesus knows everything. He put his eyes on the man, Zacharias, and he said, "You, I'm going to go to dinner with you today. I'm going to go to your house." Can you imagine seeing Zacharias climbing into a tree because you want to make sure you get sight of him? And then he stops and looks up at you and says, "You, I'm going to your house. I'm going to visit you. I'm going to eat dinner." Woo. There's a man in the Bible that was told if he only believed, he could be saved. And he cried out, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." I've always liked that story. A lot of people say, if I just had more faith, if I was just stronger, how can I have more faith, Tex? Well, pray for it. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and tell Jesus, "Jesus, I know you can give me more faith to believe. To believe the word of God, to believe miracles in my life, to believe I can be saved, to believe you have the power to heal me of my sin. Yes, yes, I believe, Lord. Would you help my unbelief?" See, some people think they've got to be strong. I've got to determine I'm going to get sin out of my life. I will not smoke. I will not drink. I will not curse. I will not cheat on my wife. I will not do A, B, C, D. And then they go out and do it anyway. You're not strong enough. You know it. I know it. But Jesus is strong enough. He comes in your heart. He lives in your life. He inhabits your life. He takes control, and sin cannot defeat him. Then there's a second case in the Bible. A woman had a blood disease. We don't really know what it is. Had a blood issue. Leukemia? Cancer? I don't know. But she heard about Jesus coming, and she watched and she waited for Jesus to come nearby. You know, she wanted to touch him, and Jesus came by, and she reached out, and I all she could do was just touch the hem of his garment. But she wanted to, and she did. And you know what? Jesus knew instantly that she had done so, and he took note of her, and he healed her of her disease. Think about it. Only the hem of his garment. Folks, if you can't get your hands all the way around Jesus, just grab hold of the hem of his garment. If you're on the floor, if you're laying prostrate, reach up as much as you can and grab hold. Grab hold of the hem of his garment. This woman did. She had her eyes fixed on him, and she grabbed hold. I suspect she wasn't going to let go. I just suspect so. A lot of people don't have faith because they don't start out with faith. You got to have a little bit of faith. What would happen? You're looking for a job, and the employer, you know, he interviews you, and at the end of the interview, you say, "Well, I guess you don't want to hire me for this job, do you?" Well, he probably won't. You know, a young man wants to date a girl, and he calls her on the phone. He says, "I guess you wouldn't date me, would you?" Well, she probably won't. What happens if you know, you're thinking of buying a new car or a used car, you go to the car lot, the auto company, the salesman shows you the car, and then at the end of it, he looks at you and says, "I guess you don't want to buy this car, do you?" You're probably going to say, "No, I don't." He has no faith. He has no confidence. Why would you? I mean, why would he want to give you what you want? You can't go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I guess I'm praying for you to help me, to save me, or I'm praying for you to help me out in this problem I have, but I guess you won't do it, so..." Well, I guess he won't either. This woman had faith, and she grabbed the hem of Jesus' garment. And Zacharias was told by Jesus, "I'm going to visit your home." And he said, "Good." He was thrilled. And he did everything he could to make Jesus happy while he was there, I'm sure. And he even told Jesus, "I'm going to give back multifold all the money that I've stolen from people." I think that's what affects you when you have Jesus in. You want to do what's right. And you want to do more than what's right. There are people that you've done dirty and wrong. I think you will. Once you find Jesus in your life, you'll discover you want to go to them and tell them you're sorry. They may say, get away from me, I hate you. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they say if you truly are seeking forgiveness. But you might be surprised. You might be surprised at their attitude if you do that. It could shock you. It's happened to me. I've made mistakes. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I made some errors and I went into my boss and I said, I don't want to fess up. Boy, I messed up big. And I told him what I'd done. I thought, this is it. Probably be, you know, court-martialed or whatever. And I remember one time, my boss, he was one of the men I respected most in the world. Military man. He looked at me and said, I already knew about that. I'm glad you came and fessed up to it, though. He said, it's not like you. It was very unusual. But I saw you had done that. And I thought it was an aberration. And I thought, wonder what's going to happen now. And here you are telling me you did it. I said, well, I really didn't mean to, but I did it for sure. And I did it because I didn't follow the instructions, you know, the technical manual. He said, that's right, you didn't. But you're going to from now on, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. All right, that's all I want to know. That was it. I've told all the people here at our ministry, if they make a mistake, that's not a great sin, but it is a great sin if they don't fess up to it. I like it when they come in and say, well, Tex, I messed up. You know, I did ABC. Sometimes I've had people make mistakes here in the ministry and it costs us a lot of money. Maybe they sent a printing job and it was all messed up and came back and we had all these things we couldn't use. They come in and they say, I messed up. You know what I like them to do? They say, Tex, I messed up. Here was my mistake. It's cost us money. I'm in time or whatever. I'm sorry. And here's what I'm going to do to fix it. Make sure it never happens in the future. Those are the two things I like. One, it's my mistake, my error. Two, here's what I'm going to do to make sure it never happens again. I think Jesus would like us to do that too. Jesus, this is the sin. Please forgive me. And it says John says in the Bible that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we ask him for forgiveness. But John said, the apostle said, if you say I don't have sin, then you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So if one of my workers here and my staff made a big mistake, a costly mistake, and I call them in, they say, no, I didn't do that. But I know they did. They've just compounded the error. I have never fired anyone who came in and said, I made a mistake. I don't care how much it costs the ministry or me personally. I've never said, you're fired. But I have said, well, what are you going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again? See, I think the people that work for me here are all honest, good people. And they don't want to make errors, but we all do. I make errors. Sometimes I quote the Bible wrong. I'll say it's in, you know, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Somebody comes to, no, it's not. It's in Luke. Okay, I made a mistake. Forgive me. I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. I'm going to look that up. In fact, I made a mistake earlier. I said we were parked in front of WMAQ. Actually, Juan and I were in Chicago. We were parked in front of a WGN, and that's where we went. But I ended up being on a talk show in WMAQ. A little error on my part. Many years gone by. But the incident didn't happen. But I erred a little bit in telling you. But I fess up. All right? You'll forgive me, won't you, dear friend out there? I want to tell you something. Here's the thing I'm trying to get at, though. Be bold. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Jesus, it says in the book of Revelation, is knocking at the door. A lot of people don't know that. Jesus wouldn't accept me. Had a lady travel all the way from New England to come to see me because she believed that Jesus would never forgive her of her sins. She was just too great a sinner. I said, boy, you're a prideful person. Prideful? No, that's not one of my sins. Oh, yes, it is, I told her. Your greatest sin is pride. You're so prideful, you think your sins are bigger than anybody else's, and God is not worthy, or you're not worthy, and God's not able. You really are insulting God. There's a second sin. She was shocked. I was adding sins onto her sins. Pride, insulting God. You're saying God can't forgive you. But the Bible says he will. If you ask him forgiveness, he is faithful and just. You're saying he's not faithful and just to forgive you. Oh, Oh. Yeah. And your sins are not so big. How many people have you murdered? How many people have you raped? How much money have you stolen? And of course, she said, I haven't done any of those things. But even if she had, I said, well, that's nothing to God. He'd forgive you of all those things. Look to Jesus, I told her. He can do all things. Fear not. Don't even fear that you're too big of a sinner. And don't insult him to say, God, you can never forgive me. He'll do whatever he wants. He's forgiven worse people than you, believe me. Now, one of the problems I've seen with folks is that they worry too much about what other people think of them instead of what Jesus thinks about them. You ever met people like that? They're always worried about what they dress like or what people are going to say about them, what their neighbors might say or the people at church or the people where they work. Seems like they're not worried about what Jesus is going to say. They're only worried about what other people are going to think or say about them. There again, you've missed the principle. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. I think that's the greatest sin that we commit is by not focusing on Jesus. Not focusing on the light, but instead dwelling on the darkness. You know, the Jews today, that's one of the problems we have with Jewish people. They have their eyes fixed on rebuilding that temple. They have their eyes fixed on Jerusalem. And they want a world kingdom of the Jews. They want a city for themselves, a kingdom. But they don't want Jesus, the Messiah, to be the king on the throne. They don't have their eyes on Jesus, but they say we're looking for the coming Messiah. They don't realize he's already come. And he exists today. He is alive. He is here. All they have to do is reach out to him. But no, they have their eyes fixed on some mysterious figure that they expect to show up in the future. And guess what? Jesus said, I come from the Father. He sent me, but you don't believe in me. But one day one will come in his own name. Him you will receive. Oh, yeah. They'll receive someone that they will believe is the Messiah because they don't have their eyes fixed on Jesus. And if they only read their Old Testament, which most Jewish rabbis do not do today, they don't even study the Old Testament in their Bible schools and in their seminaries, their yeshiva academies. They study the Talmud instead, the words of the rabbis instead of the Word of God. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.